First and foremost, on behalf of Elaine and the rest of the family, we'd like to thank you for coming and sharing in this time and honoring Louis. Let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A scripture reading that I'd like to read for this afternoon will be taken from the Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with hurting hearts for the loss of a dear husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, a brother, an uncle, and a friend. We know that Louis trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is because of this faith we rejoice that Louis' struggle is over. We ask you, Father, to encourage us, to lift our spirits. We ask that you would encourage this family through your love and allow them to know the comfort that you alone can give. We ask that you would also allow them to feel the love that we have for them in this time of need. We ask a special blessing upon Elaine. We ask that you would encourage her and strengthen her. We ask that you would allow, Father, that there would be many that would support and encourage in love and fellowship for her. We pray, Father, that you also would allow us to never feel defeated through this earthly death. Allow us to see new life through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, glorify your name. We ask that you would allow that each and every day we could walk in the newness of life by the inspiration of the hope. We ask that, Father, by this, all that we say and do would bring you honor and glory. We ask that you would hear us as we pray that perfect prayer which your Son has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We ask that you would now join us in singing of hymn number 383, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, in the blue hymnal. Louis J. Louis Campioni Jr., 75 of Dollar Bay, went to be with the Lord on Monday, January 27, 2014, at Houghton County Medical Care Facility in Hancock, Michigan, where he had been a patient since Wednesday. He was born in Hancock, Michigan on November 19, 1938, the son of the late Louis and Celia Campioni Sr., and was a 1957 graduate of Hancock Central High School. Louis worked for various employers, including Calumet Heckler, the White Pine Copper Company, and prior to his retirement, worked for 20 years at Upper Peninsula Power Company. Following retirement, he worked for 5 years as a janitor at the Dollar Bay Elementary School. Louis was married for 52 years to the former Elaine Kinnanen. He was a member of Zion Lutheran Church in Hancock. He loved spending time with his family, especially his grandchildren. He enjoyed camping for many years at Baraga State Park, always looking forward to the lighting of bonfires and Christmas in July at the park. He also looked forward to bike riding and playing games with his grandchildren. Louis was preceded in death by his parents. Surviving are his wife, Elaine of Dollar Bay, 3 sons, Donald and Mary Campioni of Launce, Robert and Sheila Campioni of Dollar Bay, Gary and Dion of Campioni of Flint, 1 daughter, Karen and Kevin Erickson of Hancock, 8 grandchildren, Colton and Emma Campioni, Cody, Eli, and Noah and Mia Campioni, Caitlin and Corey and Kenny Erickson, and 2 great-grandchildren, Kara and Stanley. 2 brothers, James K. Campioni of Chassel, and Stephen and Evelyn Campioni of Calumet. 1 sister, Jean and Roger Mannanen of Chassel. 1 aunt and several nieces and nephews and cousins. Funeral services are here today at 4 o'clock. That always is an interesting thing. We try to summarize an individual's life within what we call the obituary. But Louis, we know, was much more than that. He was a man of passion. He was a man of compassion. He was a man, when you spoke to him, you could see the glimmer in his eyes, the joy that he had for his family. He was an individual that cared about his church. He was an individual that paid great respect to many different individuals. I always felt very respected when I talked to Louis. And that is something that I think we all can learn from. So it's hard just to give a summation of one's life. But in trying to do so, I also wanted to grab a part of Scripture to preach from that would encourage each and every one of us through the difficulties of losing a loved one. For a family, it's extremely difficult. And my condolences go very sincerely to each and every one of you. And on behalf of Zion congregation, our heart hurts for you also. Because when one member in this body hurts, we all hurt. But also that we would be encouraged, each and every one of us that may have lost loved ones and may have gone through difficulty, that there is great hope beyond this life. And that's the encouragement that I want to bring to you today. I'm going to read a part of Scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. And I pray that God would open this unto us, that we could find the encouragement that each and every one of us needs in a day that can be quite difficult. I think Kenny brought it out very well when we were in the back room. He smiled and he said, "Today's a good day for a funeral, because the adults were talking that the sun is shining." And it is a good day. The sun is shining, the heavens are opened up, and God is offering us in reality encouragement that the Son, Jesus Christ of the world, has given His life for us. So let us read this word. Let us read it in Jesus' name. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 21 through 26. With greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John 11. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let us pray. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. We need encouragement. We need strength. Father, we ask that most of all that you would open this word unto us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that not only we seated here, but also, Father, of the whole heavenly host would rejoice at the gift of salvation found in Jesus Christ alone. We ask for a special utterance of the Holy Spirit upon this family, that you would allow, Father, that it would be magnified and that they'd be encouraged and that they'd be uplifted. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We just saw a very difficult thing when we went through the process of seeing Louis, the family members, really what I'm speaking about, going through the battle with his knees. Elaine, you remember the difficulties he went through back in 1991, going through his leukemia the first time. Then we understand that he even had other issues when he was in Marquette with kidney stones and the pains that are associated with these things. And then the news is given. And some of the children had talked to me and they said they give Grandpa about 4 weeks. And the interesting part is we all have seen the commercials on TV. We've seen them where they say there was no more hope. The doctor said there was no more hope. And they said, well, they never seen a patient yet with an expiration date on the bottom of their foot. And so when I was talking to Caitlin at one time, I said, well, we don't know of any expiration date. They gave him 4 weeks. God showed him mercy. He took him sooner. I'm sorry, it's difficult for you. But he did not have to suffer. He didn't have to revisit the issues of the leukemia, the difficulties of the knee, the difficulties of the struggles that he went through. And the fact of it is what we see here is the rejoicing in the fact that he has no more pain. He has no more suffering. There are no more tears. And I could speak very boldly in this way because I had been at the Houghton County at Thursday. Thursday I'd gone there and I sat and I prayed with Louis and we had communion together. And it was a beautiful time because when I walked in the door, his face lit up and he says, Pastor, you're here. And you could see him with the twinkle in his eye. And I said, yes, Louis, I'm here. He says, boy, am I glad to see you. And then the next thing out of his mouth was, Pastor, you don't know how happy I am we have places like this that can take care of me. He saw the good in these situations. He saw the good that is offered out there. He said, God has blessed us with facilities to take care of people like this. And he was speaking of himself. And where was his heart? His heart was very strong. He told me, he said, Elaine can't keep traveling to Marquette. He says, and I'm glad I can be here because I don't want to be a burden at home. His heart was in the right area. And yet he found the joy and he found the positive even in a difficult situation. Can we also carry on even with that legacy, even with that understanding? Do I praise in reality the human? No, I praise in what God has done in and through Louis. He had the spirit and the spirit of encouragement. And so we turn around sometimes and we look at these tough situations and we wonder, what next? What next? Martha felt that way very strongly when we look at the text that we have here today. She lost her brother. He had been sick and he died. And Martha turns around and she sees Jesus when he comes back. And she sees him and she says, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. But oftentimes, That is our issue. Oftentimes we think that God physically in the flesh has to be here for us. But yet to understand, if we read the whole account of Lazarus, we would know who was in control. Jesus. He speaks so boldly that our friend Lazarus is sick and he's over 2 miles away. And he speaks so boldly, and when the disciples say, well, if he's sleeping, it's good that he's sleeping because he'll get better. But Jesus turns around and he says, Lazarus is dead. But allow us to go now to him that God may be glorified. And the disciples, they become afraid because they know that the Jews are coming after them. The religious zealots want them gone. And they're like, we can't go back there. Have we faced these issues in our life? This is what I saw when I went to Houghton County Medical. I was scared. As a human being, I was scared to go upstairs and to find my friend Louis. What was I going to see? What was going to happen? But yet when I walked in the room, what took place? But a glowing smile met me. And someone that was encouraged to see me and to come and minister the sacraments to him was there, and it was excitement. The Spirit of God was present. He doesn't leave us alone. And this is the same Spirit that encourages you today. This is the same Spirit that encourages each and every one of us in this walk of life, whatever it may throw at us. Louis wasn't afraid. I know that might sound trivial. And I know that I can't express what I saw and what I felt when I went in that room to you and get it accurately. But I've dealt with people. And I'm not saying I have as much experience as some elder pastors, but I've dealt with plenty of people that have been on death's door. And he was not afraid. He was excited. And he had concern for his family. He knew, but yet he remained faithful in encouraging and in hope, and even in the simplicity of a smile in a difficult time. God is present. God was present in room 315 when I went up there. God is present when Louis was called home. He took him by the hand and he called him home. God is present here today. We don't need to be as Martha and say, if only you had been here. We can be in reality and in the fact of the disciples and saying, praise be to God, for you are Lord, for he is here. She turns around and she says, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she does bring about this very positive thing. She says very strongly, but I do understand this. I understand this. Whatever you will ask of God, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. She understood that God in reality was on his side. The favor of God was upon him. And it's an interesting thing. Because we have a tendency to think in that fashion. Well, this certain individual, there will be the favor of God upon them. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's much greater than that. What she was speaking to Jesus is actually quite interesting, because he didn't just have the favor of God with him. He was God. The power of God comes forth from him. And so you come into this fashion where Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she turns around and she says, I know that he will rise in the resurrection. Because of this group of the Pharisees, there was the belief and the understanding, which is very accurate, of a resurrection. Not everybody in that day and age believed that way. The Sadducees did not. But she understood. She said, yes, in that great resurrection, I know he will. She had that hope. But did she know who she was dealing with? not just one that the favor of God was upon, but rather dealing with the Almighty Himself. And Jesus turns around and He tries to bring this to a more clear point. And really what He's telling her is, there is no life outside of Me. Martha, there is no life outside of Me. Louis, he understood this. Because when I came, as I said, the first thing that he asked me, Pastor, are you going to bring me communion? I said, I have it right now. He said, good, let's have communion. And I said, Louis, this is life. This life is found in Jesus Christ. And he says, yes, it is. That's why I speak so encouraging. Because it's an individual that understood and knew what Jesus Christ meant. He is not just a blessing upon us of God. He in reality is God Himself blessing us. He is not just some great prophet or some other deity. He is the Almighty that has come and laid down His life in our behalf and has offered Himself as a sacrifice. What a beautiful thing that one of the last things I could do with my brother Louis was to have communion with him and to pray with him and to fellowship with him. Because is there anything else? Jesus says no. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. This is a promise of God for each and every one of us. This is a promise of God that was poured upon Louis. This is a promise of God that is given to each and every one of us. And then he brings it to a more clarifying. He says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. We have difficulty with that, don't we? That's the stumbling block. That's the stumbling block for us in this day and in this generation. Because we see this in front of us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not Louis. Louis is secure in Jesus Christ. Louis has obtained the eternal salvation by the professing of his faith, by the strength of faith given by God Himself, by the blessing of God in the pouring of His blood upon the cross of Golgotha. And in the trust of this, that in reality is new life. And in this new life, Louis has a new body. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because it was tough. It was tough at times watching an individual that had so many issues even with his knee to hobble around. He's dancing on streets of gold with a new body. It's tough to watch some of our elders struggle along through the hallways and the corridors of the churches. But upon our last breath, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are given new bodies. There is hope. And the hope is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in that alone. Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. And then he asks the ultimate question. And this question, in reality, is not just for everybody here. It's not just for the family. This question is for the world. Do we believe? To believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do we believe in that work that He's completed upon Golgotha? That in reality, that is the work that is given to me as an imputed righteousness? Do we believe? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe. And I pray that you also make that same confession. Because when I was in that hospital room, I very audibly asked Louis, do you believe? And he says, and I do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is not just an external blessing. Jesus Christ is life. Partaking in Him, we receive eternal life. And we sometimes use those words, eternal life, but really to turn around and think about it, what it really would speak to us is everlasting life, never ending. We are given such a great blessing. May we continue to remember this each and every day. May we be encouraged, each and every one of us. And may we even take a moment and consider for ourselves. Very seriously. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about systems of men. When I went to visit Louis or other people in the nursing homes, I don't talk to them about religion. We talk about Christ. So let us come back to that point and ask ourselves, where do I stand today? Do I believe? Do I believe that I am a sinful being by nature? But yet Jesus Christ has come and give His life in my behalf, that I may, upon faith, receive eternal life and be blessed and washed by His blood. Because sin brings death. And yet now, by the gift of Jesus Christ, that sin, the penalty, has been paid for through His life. May we receive that imputed righteousness. May we be encouraged. May we turn and see Him for who He is. For truly, He is God who has given His life for you. That's awesome. That is so awesome, I wonder at times if we get it. So many times in our life we feel free to destroy anything we build. But yet God loved us so much that He laid down His own life in our behalf. We speak about it at Christmas, don't we? We sing the songs and we say, Emmanuel, God with us. But do we believe? Louis believed. May we be encouraged in that. And may we truly be encouraged that God's faithfulness will see us through. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. I pray that you guys will always remember the wonderful times that you've had with Louis. And I pray that you will not forget them, and I know you won't. And sometimes it will creep up on you in different places. But enjoy those times, even through the bitter tears. Enjoy those times, because He loved His family. And I know you loved Him. Once again, my condolences, and God be with each and every one of you.